Between Two Millennials. I'm Jonathan McClellan.
And I'm Nick, hastily recovering from talking over Jonathan's intro.
Sorry about that. I didn't let you know I was coming in with the intro. Beretta.
Oh, gosh.
The awkwardness of recording podcasts. People, we from two different locations. Sometimes it's a little bit difficult to
I'm getting sloppy, dude.
We're recording. Yeah, you're getting real sloppy, dude. I'm disappointed in you. In fact, I've been having interviews this week to find your replacement.
No, Luke has replaced me. Wait, I don't know if this episode is airing after Luke's episode, but no.
Yeah, Luke, the episode that we recorded with Luke is not going to see the light of day for a long time.
Unfortunate. Such a close bond formed over someone that I've never met from a Bill O'Reilly video. Well done.
I love that was your main connection with the Bill O'Reilly video,
dude,
of him cussing on Inside Edition.
Hey, that's a great video, dude. That one's a classic.
That was from like 90 years ago.
It was definitely in the 90s because, man, like that recording quality, subpar.
That's about as good as our recording quality on this podcast.
It's definitely comparable. Definitely comparable.
Speaking of this podcast, what is this podcast, Nicholas?
This is Between Two Millennials, my good man. Social conversation on all things millennial.
Oh, indeed. That's insane.
Yeah, that's my nice little catchphrase.
That's beautiful. Man, we talk about so many things on this podcast, don't we?
We do. We do a lot of talking here.
Yeah, we talk a lot, and it's a good time most of the time.
I got to agree with you. Most of the time. We have yet to get into a super heated debate yet, but I feel like it'll come at some point.
You and I get into a debate?
I don't know, maybe. Or just some other guest we like bring on or something. I don't know yet.
I think I respect you enough too much to debate you.
Yeah, well, we like agree on a lot of things, but there are defining differences as well, though. So
I also consider you to be a master debater. So,
oh, thank you. I mean, you know, it's good wordplay, dude. Nice.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Wordplay.
Debating, yeah. Speeches, our topic for this evening. You know, it all ties together here.
Does it all tie together? Was this all intentional?
Tell me more.
You, the listener, will never know. Dum, dum, dum.
So tell me more about what's going on tonight, my good man.
Well, I think that we should go into an hour of just straight silence.
Oh, that would be good. Just an hour of dead air time. Really help because listener find themselves.
No, exactly, because we have the right to do that.
Oh, rights, you say?
Oh, I'm sorry, what? What?
Are you
what
talking
rights?
About rights, my good man?
Am I talking about the rights that we have as citizens of the America?
This?
But not just the America. The United States of America?
This great nation?
One nation.
Under God.
Indivisible.
With liberty.
And pizza for all.
Ooh, that would be a nice addition to the Pledge of Allegiance.
That would be, yeah. I always wondered if you swapped indivisible with invisible, if that would change the entire way we lived our lives. Like, what if everybody was invisible in this great nation?
It'd be pretty, wow, I never thought about that.
You
would think it'd be lonely, but if you knew everyone was invisible, would you really be?
Ooh, but you would bump into people a lot.
Exactly. Existential, dude. This is
this
is getting deep.
This is some meta level stuff. I think we'd have to be in an alternative mind state to really unpack this further.
Yeah, I think you might. Yeah, I think you might be on to something with that one. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Yes, I am. But good thing that we are sober minded, clear headed, and ready to tackle a pretty interesting topic.
Yeah, this one's gonna be a doozy. This one's gotta unpack.
I think we should continue to talk existentially about the topic and never introduce it.
Yeah, I feel like people are really loving this—the fact that we're circling around some topic that we've
just rambling. As they drive in their car or work out and whatnot, they just hear us wasting their life away.
Random tangent. I can't do podcasts and working out. I can't. I haven't been able to do
it. Oh, really?
Yeah, no.
I do it pretty regularly.
For me, it's music. It's just got to be like music.
You need that beat. You're on the bench press. You're like,
yeah, those are the exact sounds that I make when bench pressing. There we go. And that's only the bar, too. Like, no weight, clearly.
Dude, you're strongman. Strongman Nick Petrick here.
Oh, yeah.
So, I guess all of this to say, we, as citizens of this great country, have the right to say whatever we want. Or do we?
That is the topic tonight for this.
That is the topic. Debate. We received a fan email about the protests that have recently been happening in regards to some conservative speakers on different college campuses, namely UC Berkeley and Middlebury, where traditionally conservative men were brought onto these campuses, and riots and protests broke out in response to their being there due to allegations that they either inspired hatred towards one group or another, or they were racist or white supremacist. There's been a lot of not so nice adjectives thrown out there. And so the question posed to us by a listener was, how do we feel about this? How should protesters respond in these situations? And I guess more from a legal perspective, what can we be doing under the First Amendment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was basically the summation of that email. So I think, well, what do you think? I was thinking the first kind of topic to tackle would be specifically like the protests at campuses, and then we could move maybe into some more of the like legalities, like what is protected, what's not, and kind of jump into the conversation from there.
Yeah. I can do that.
Perfect.
Slight disclaimer, though, because we love to disclaim stuff here in America. These are just Nick and I's opinions. We are not legal experts. All right.
This
so I want to begin by reading off the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights. Excuse me, not the Constitution. The Bill of Rights that applies to this particular case. So the amendment adopted in 1971 reads,
1971?
Congress,
man.
I mean 1791.
Wow.
My bad.
It's a long time
bad.
Coming.
I misspoke. I have a problem with that. You know,
it happens, dude. Good thing we're talking about speech today, so we can help remedy some of that.
Exactly. Yeah, I can say whatever I want, even if I say it incorrectly.
Sorry.
So,
okay, go ahead.
So, this amendment reads, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the two main points in there that we want to look at are, Congress shall make no law respecting or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, and then also, or of the right for people to peaceably assemble.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's look at these protests. Something that was discussed on the Post-Truth episode was the fact that these protesters, in a lot of ways, by harboring the opposing side, are actually doing themselves a disservice. Because
right.
If you're not understanding the other side, how are you really going to address it? How are you going to convince a person that it is wrong?
Exactly.
However, and so by disallowing these individuals to come onto campus and really speak the opinion that they're entitled to under the Constitution, they're doing themselves a pretty big disservice. On top of that, you know, there's the word peaceably in there to assemble. And so from the way I read this, protests are 100%, 1,000% okay. And I think people should protest if they feel as though something that is happening is wrong. I have no issues with that. But when those protests become no longer peaceable, when hundreds of thousands of dollars of school property is destroyed, or people are struck, or people get injured, or go down the whole laundry list of issues that came up when these originally peaceful protests turn into riots, we have some problems.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the main issue that I had with it, too, because I think you're right. I mean, I think it is important for everyone to be able to, you know, come to at least and see what the other side's views might be from their own, and I think that's really important. However, I think, yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, once protests get more than peaceably assembled is when issues come into play. And then it really just does, you know, disservice on both sides, because clearly, I mean, obviously the side that's becoming violent is at fault due to that. But, you know, there's a lot of underlying issues over why that is. And, I mean, maybe there are some legitimate concerns that they're raising, but I highly, highly doubt that those concerns would have gotten to the point where, you know, yeah, I mean, physical violence was the only option there. You know what I mean? So, no.
Yep, I agree with you. But Nick, I want to ask you then, do you think there is a precedent or there should be a line drawn based on the rhetoric of certain people? You know, we have laws in America that prohibit certain types of speech. But in this situation, did the students have a case at all, in your opinion?
I mean, from what I've read, I don't think so. From what I've seen, it was a lot of hearsay about the individual in question at that campus. And nothing, at least to that I know of, that was explicitly said or viewpoints that were expressed making that behavior acceptable, if that makes sense. Like, I guess what I'm saying is, a lot of the times, you know, people might gather from hearsay or, you know, word of mouth or things kind of like that. And that's where I feel like it can get a little out of control. Because, I mean, we all know how the game telephone goes. I mean, the further something is spread, the less and less coherent it seems. And then
Right. All
of a sudden the message arrives at the end and it's completely different than what it was when it was at the beginning. So, you know, I kind of get worried in this age of social media that things being spread by word of mouth can get a little, you know, kind of convoluted, twisted, mixed up in ways that maybe they weren't intended to be originally. So I get a little worried about that as well. And I think, you know, when those words do get a little twisted and mixed up, I mean, it ends up affecting people's right to free speech because they get accused of, you know, maybe like hate speech or one of these other forms of speech that are restricted and are not protected under the First Amendment. It can turn into a poor situation like we've seen on those campuses.
So let me ask you this then. With Milo Yiannopoulos, this speaker at UC Berkeley, and Charles Murray, the speaker at Middlebury, you're right, a lot of what they had to say, or a lot of the concerns were not necessarily proven, or were not necessarily radical among the entire population, because obviously people wanted to host. There were individuals on these campuses that wanted to host. However,
right.
I want to ask you again to kind of push this a little bit more. Do you think there is a precedent for, I don't know, let's say a group like Westboro Baptist Church or even ISIS, for example, if they wanted to come onto college campuses and speak, in your opinion, would there be a precedent for not allowing that?
Well, I think, I mean, especially in those two examples, there's obviously a bit of a difference. I mean, Westboro Baptist, although they do have some powerful opinions, I'll phrase it that way.
That are pretty, they say hate
in
a lot of the things they put out.
Oh, no, I completely get it. And trust me, I'm no fan of their viewpoints.
What? I love them. They're my favorite.
I know, shocking
news. In fact, I look up to them. They are. I hope to be them one day.
God.
Watch it. This clip is going to be taken out of context in like 30 years.
Yep. Yep. And, you're going to be banned for those last 10 seconds from appearing anywhere ever.
Yep. That Jonathan McClellan loves Westboro Baptist Church.
Sarcasm?
That's
going to
come back to haunt me right there.
Sarcasm?
No, 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 no. I would never be sarcastic. Wink, wink.
Exactly. I mean, that's for me. Like the big difference there is that although Westboro Baptist and, you know, folks like that do have opinions that most people wouldn't agree with, they don't necessarily act out on them. Whereas
violently,
What's that?
They don't act out violently.
Yeah, I mean, comparing that to ISIS, who are doing exactly that, a little bit different in that respect. Because you can have opinions that aren't popular. That, you know, that's not illegal. But right. It's when you act on those, or when they fall into certain categories, that they do become illegal. So, I mean, Westboro Baptist, I mean, you know, people definitely aren't fans, but, yeah, I mean, they have their right to express their opinion the same as anybody else does, you know, no matter if we like it or not.
But ISIS does not.
Right. It's different because ISIS acts on their viewpoints, which directly harm people. And that's really oversimplifying it, I'm sure. But from my understanding of the Constitution as a 23-year-old man, that's what makes sense to me.
Okay. That's fair. I won't fight you on that.
Thank you.
So I think to sum up at least this discussion about what should be happening on college campuses,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think, you know, as millennials, we are often the ones actively involved in these protests. And should we get involved in these protests, I think that it is extremely important to understand, A, while we're there, and B, to have facts to back up why we are there, and then also C, to remain nonviolent while we are doing this.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, definitely you're allowed to you know, protest and gather and express your viewpoints, and that's all good, but just make sure you're doing it for the right reason too, you know? I mean, like the Milo stuff on those college campuses, I mean, if you end up going there and it was taken out of context or whatever the case might be, it really kind of damages your own cause too. So there's,
oh yeah,
you know, like times to protest, times to not. It's like one of those things.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean,
because you also don't want to look like you're crying wolf too, you know? I mean, if you're protesting everything,
right,
then really can, you know, maybe it takes away some of your, I guess, power when it might be like a legitimate issue that does need protesting.
Ooh, that's interesting, though. That's a point we can push on, because I don't know if I agree with you on that.
Really?
I mean, do we only protest when something reaches a certain level of importance?
No, because that's probably different for each person, which right. obviously makes my case a little less strong. But, you know, the way that I look at it is like, hey, I mean, if you're out there protesting for, you know, every little thing under the sun that like one group or another is doing, most people, I think, right in the middle are going to look at that and go, okay, well, I mean, clearly they're not going to be satisfied with anything that this one group is doing, so I'm just going to tune them out. You know what I mean? That's the way that I see it, at least. It's like, hey, I mean, if you're constantly out there doing that thing, unless it's something that, I mean, the vast majority of, in this case, Americans or whatever the group might be, are coming together on, like for an issue, that might be different. But if it's something where it's even remotely like a 50-50 split and there's extreme groups on both sides, then you're going to end up alienating a lot of people too. That's just my own personal opinion there.
And you have a right to express that opinion.
Thank you. Thank you, First Amendment. Thank you, 1971.
Thank you, those who wrote the Bill of Rights. Indeed. You are a hero.
Indeed.
Yeah, I think it was written by a man named Bill, to be actual and precise.
Exactly. Because it was his rights first, right?
It was only his, yeah, and then we stole it from Bill. Bill's rights.
Or was it a man whose name was Wright?
Oh, snap. Existential.
Here we go again.
Let's take a quick break while we contemplate who yes. wrote the Bill of Rights.
Yep.
Because
yep,
it's
yep,
it's obviously not a fact. It's based on emotion, who we emotionally
it's
feel
based
with the
on
Bill of
emotion.
Rights. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So quick.
We'll be back. Yeah, let us know what you think about that. Hit us up. And we are back from the break.
The mental collection break.
Yeah. So during that break, Nick and I sang songs.
We did. It helps me center myself for the next discussion.
Our favorite comes from a Russian guy.
I don't know any Russian guys.
No, the song I was singing was sung initially by a Russian guy.
Really? Ah, yes, that one.
You remember that now? That actually was a Russian guy.
I'm with it now, dude. I'm here with you 100%.
That's crazy. Nick, what are you doing this weekend? Tell me.
This weekend, I'm actually going down to the Houston Rodeo.
Let's go! H-Town proud! Go Astros, baby!
Woo, Astros. But yeah, biggest rodeo in the world. Going down there, I think, on Saturday? And actually going to the rodeo on Sunday. But yeah, should be a good time. And then I'm coming back here for work.
Are you going to wrangle a bovine?
No, but Pepperdine DPS is, apparently, according to your Instagram page, sir.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know.
Are you going to take one of those with you this weekend, or what's your plan there?
A bovine?
Yeah. Where are you going, and is it bovine friendly?
Yeah, so I'm taking my bovine Chet down to Las Vegas.
I'm sure you can, you know, sign him in at the New York, right? Nobody will bat an eyelash, dude.
Yeah, he really wants to go on the roller coaster.
Oh, perfect. You need like two separate cards though for him, like two for the front feet and two for the back, you know?
Yeah. That's real smart of you. Yeah.
I pride myself on that.
We just strap in his hooves. That's the only thing that's tied down.
Put a multi-100-pound animal on an indoor roller coaster.
Yeah, we'll just put one of those good, like muzzle or the schnozzle feed baskets on his face. So while he's on the roller coaster, he's just nomming on some hay like the little cow he is.
Wouldn't he be gnawing on some oats, perhaps?
Or oats or corn? Oats. I don't know. Or grass? We could grass feed it.
Ooh, very California of you.
And then I'm going to take him down to the masseuse and get him massaged later, because apparently if you massage your cows, the beef tastes better.
Wow. I'm going to have to confirm that with all my animal science majors out there. If massaging really leads to better steaks.
I think it makes the meat more tender. It's like... it's
tenderizing
like
before.
It's like Tinder for cows, though. Tender.
Tenderizing.
Yes. Yes, it's how they meet their mates. They go on Tinder.
It's 21st century cow dating.
It's an industry. Trust, look it up. I invented it.
This
did I ever tell you about the goat based currency that I invented with several friends?
No, I'm completely in the dark about this.
So myself and young Jack Miller and young Nick Shubin invented a goat-based currency called, of course, Goatmo.
Oh, this is excellent.
And basically, the value of a goat would be based on supply and demand. And once you reach a certain amount of credits in the app, we would actually send you a goat. So it's right? And so we would base we would base the price of the goat off of the futures goat market that is listed on the Chicago
Mercantile Exchange.
Yep. And you would trade in obviously dollars, but once you reach a certain dollar amount, you could trade that dollar in for a goat.
So technically there's a direct conversion rate somewhere. We just need to calculate that.
It's like $12 for every one goat. If we're That's talking about extreme. A 3-year-old female goat with brown spots.
Interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
You have different rates depending on the gender, the age, the stamina, the athletic ability of these goats.
I see one flaw here, and it's once you get a male and a female goat, you're pretty much good to go to stop using the app and pull out of the market, thus creating more supply because your credits are cashed out.
No, but then you can sell goats back into the market.
Oh, you can? Okay, so there's another influx.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
Right? You see how it works? So, like, we have our goat supply distribution center that's underneath my bed. Basically, I keep I keep goats in really poor condition underneath my bed in Santa Monica, roughly 500 of them below my twin-sized bed.
Oh, wow. So they're all, like, in appropriately sized cages to allow them to do that?
No, definitely not. They're in cages that they can't fit in.
No, that's appropriately sized. You're mishearing me.
Okay. Yeah, then that's appropriately sized.
This is terrible.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to go ahead and not incriminate myself. I do not own any goats. I've never shipped a goat. I've never even bought a goat. I've maybe touched a goat at the petting zoo, but
the U.S. Postal Service is going to come knocking down your door for illegal shipping.
U.S. Postal Service and PETA in combination.
Oh yeah, you're donezo, kiddo. PETA. Oh god.
PETA.
PETA's gonna.
Cheeto.
PETA's gonna come break your window at night.
Before we get back into our discussion on the First Amendment, did you know, and I learned this in class the other day, that PETA is classified as a terror organization?
I see no problem in that.
Wow.
I'm just kidding, kind of. A little bit. And I'm gonna end it there.
Funny.
Sorry, dude. I love my steak too much to worry about PETA. That's balanced diet.
You know, I respect your ability to eat steak. I've been vegetarian since lunchtime today.
Nice. And that's been... and that was after lunch, correct?
Yeah. So it's been like 5 hours since I've been vegetarian. I'm probably going to go unvegetarian here in about an hour when I eat again. But
no, that makes sense. Well done, dude.
It's been a good...
Really committed.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a good run. I'm very pleased with the gains that I've gotten. I see myself much healthier. I just feel cleansed in
a
lot of different ways. Yeah, I've learned a lot about respect for myself and for critters everywhere.
Critters. Excellent.
Critters. Where are them critters at, boy?
Critters. Oh, jeez. It's critter season.
It's critter season. We going hunting. Dude, no, back in Tennessee... I think it's deer. It might be deer season right now, because we have a real whitetail problem where there's way too many whitetail. You know,
really?
They're reproducing like rabbits.
Rabbits.
Basically,
I didn't realize it was in the springtime. Huh?
Maybe you know, I might have that. I think you know what? I think it just ended. I think it's winter. I think it's the winter season.
It's like fall winter. Yeah. That's what I typically associate with that.
Yeah, well, you know what? You're typically wrong, so...
Typically. Bovine.
It's pronounced bovine.
Bovine. It's two separate words with a dash.
You're being such a cow right now.
I am. I'm sorry.
Take your cowy self. We've gone haywire. You know what cows eat? Hey.
I'm keeping with it.
Why don't you go sow your oats? Yeah, that was bad. All right, anyway. Hey, right, Picknetrick, really let me tell you. You reap what you sow, man. You reap what you sow.
Ooh, nice. Double use of sow as well. Well done.
Yeah, well, I just repeated it.
Well, okay, you're right. You did.
Oh, anyway, to answer your question, I'm going to Vegas this weekend. Yeah, going to Vegas.
Fun. For any particular reason or just you're going?
I'm going with my frat.
Oh, nice.
Because I'm a frat star and stuff.
I'm a frat. You sound so disappointed saying that.
Yeah, I was once president of frat.
I remember because you didn't live with us because you were president.
Wow.
Pretty unlucky.
You slanderous buffoon.
I'm slandering you all over the First Amendment.
I will
right now.
Sue you. For this nasty rhetoric against my character.
Hey, this is... Oh, wait, you're right. No, that's not protected.
Oh, really? But, you know, tell me other things that might not be protected under the First Amendment, Nick.
So, excellent transition.
Bum-bum-bum. I'm getting better at my transitions, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, well done.
Well done. We eating. Let's go. All right, hit us up.
So First Amendment, we're talking about issues that are not protected. So the Ooh. Interesting part about the First Amendment, in my opinion, is that it specifically refers to Congress not passing a law to impede on speech. Obviously, that has some outliers, like deliberate hate speech toward a certain group, things like child pornography. Also, I think burning government documents are on there as well, like official documents addressed to you, demanding action, stuff like that. So, like, you know, draft cards in the 60s and all that stuff.
What about my parking tickets?
If they're federal, probably not good. Probably not good, honestly.
Yeah, the federal... Donald Trump gave me a parking ticket yesterday.
Wow, personally?
Yeah. Yeah, well, he was like,
he flew all the way over.
He's like, I'm gonna send you back to China.
Every episode.
China. It's great. In the previous episode, I don't know if you've listened to it yet, in the previous episode with Dr. Williams, I got him to say it too.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I have not actually listened yet.
Legendary.
I think I downloaded it.
Legendary. Also, if you haven't listened to that episode with Dr. Williams, it was a winner. To all our listeners out there, it was a very, very solid discussion on Trump's foreign policy relative to Russia, Iran, and China. So, after you finish this episode of moderate buffoonery, go listen to that one of a lot of seriousness. Anyway, continue.
A lot of seriousness. Well, that was more or less it. It was just, you know, there's certain outlying groups like hate speech, like actions that are demanding violence, things of that nature, child pornography, things that are very unanimously condemned, more or less, by Americans. And those are examples of speech that are banned no matter what institution you're part of. It's not just federal, it's not just state or anything like that. It's across the board, 100%. Those sorts of speech are not allowed. So
interesting.
Yeah.
So, what about implied hate speech? So, what about, let's say, if somebody was a supposed white supremacist of sorts?
I know that I actually don't know as much about, because I feel like it has to be documented
explicit
hate speech.
It has to be explicit hate speech.
That's what my intuition tells me, but I could be wrong there. But I feel like it does have to be explicit for that, because kind of what we talked about earlier, it's really easy for that sort of stuff to get kind of skewed one way or another. And, you know, maybe it is hate speech, maybe it's not, but I feel like that's a kind of a gray zone that could be debated either way. Obviously, I could be wrong on that, but that's what my intuition tells me.
Interesting.
What
so
do you think?
In the words of the infamous Clayton Bigsby, if you got hate in your heart, let it out.
Clayton Bigsby. Oh my gosh, that video was something else.
That video was great, but I'm going to go ahead and refute what Clayton Bigsby said, and it's probably not smart to speak up if you have hate in your heart. And I think we should all be striving for not hate, but love, back to our hippie roots.
Hey, I mean, it's probably a good thing, to be honest with you. Hate speech is never a fun thing for anybody.
Right, and I feel like hate speech is oftentimes based more on either ignorance or prejudice than it is on the actual point that somebody is making. It's never based on the point somebody's making. It's always based on some underlying motive.
Right, exactly.
Or underlying factor.
Like, it's not like an explicit factor of like one group or something. It's just a prejudice that gets words attached to it, more or less, is what I think.
Right, right.
You know?
Which is no bueno.
No, definitely not something you want floating around. But yeah, I think The most interesting part, doing a slight shift here for me, of the First Amendment is that it really only outlines guidelines for federal speech. So for a lot of cases, it seems to me like private institutions, states, municipalities are pretty free to form their own rules governing speech. The First Amendment just guarantees that, you know, Congress is not going to impede any speech based on passing laws.
Do you think Congress it implies all government, though?
Well, isn't that the whole debate over the Constitution just in general, the spirit versus the letter?
Dum dum dum.
Exactly. So I think generally it is used for protection across all forms of government.
Right.
But when you kind of break it down to its bare bone, like what's written down or like what they might have implied at that time or however you want to look at it, it technically does state that it's just for Congress there. But it could be any legislative body, which could theoretically go towards states.
Be everything states, from the federal government down to the mayor's council in your city.
Yeah, I mean, because some states do have Congresses, you know. Like, they have both houses.
Doesn't every state have a Congress?
I think one state only has one house. It's some random state. I can't
like
remember what it
Nebraska
is.
Or Rhode Island?
Is it really Nebraska?
I'm just literally throwing random states out there.
I'm going to get some dead airtime here to look this up.
Beautiful. So while Nick does that, I will sit here awkwardly. I don't know what to do in this moment.
It is Nebraska. Holy
no way. Way.
It actually is.
Let's go.
Nebraska is the only unicameral legislature in the country.
So I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that I'm supreme.
Supreme Court or just
no,
supreme
I just I'm just supreme.
Oh, okay, nice.
You can now refer to me as Jonathan the Supreme.
Now, if you're anything like Vernon Supreme, then you've got my vote.
Oh, Vernon Supreme. And see, here's the thing. Vernon Supreme is one of the reasons that free speech is an amazing thing. Because he advocated for universal dental hygiene laws and also a pony system. Similar to Goatmo, but it would be based on ponies, a currency based on ponies. What a visionary man.
To be honest with you, he's also the only candidate that has a zombie preparedness defense course, which is pretty cool. I gotta admit, he's thinking outside the box. Dude.
He is. And I mean, he brands himself as the friendly communist. He's not even pretending about being a communist liberal hack.
Hey, dude, he's got he has foreign policy down to a nut, I'm telling you. Zombie is an existential crisis.
Down to the freaking peanut, man. All the way down.
That's what I'm saying, dude. He's ready to go. Vernon Supreme. The only boot-wearing candidate out there.
Dang. Vote Vermin. But, you know. Vote freedom. Make America great again. Vote Vernon Supreme. How great would that be if in 2020 his campaign slogan was Make America Great Again?
Dude, I feel like it would be. He just recycles the one from the previous year's winner. The previous cycle's winner.
That'd be great. He's so anti-establishment, I don't think he would.
No, I don't think so either. He's got to make up his own stuff, but it's great, dude. I love watching what he does throughout the election cycle because it's entertainment, dude. That is free speech in action.
At its best.
It's most pure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, man. Vernon, really hey, Vernon, me. If you ever want to come on the pod, bro, you know where to find us. At our email. BetweenTwoMillennials@gmail.com.
Nice work.
Man, dude, I'm getting so good at that.
Dude, you're cycling those in now.
Yay, it's, me.
Well done.
Yay, well done. Me.
You guys can't see because you're podcasting, but he's pretty much patting himself on the back as we speak.
Yay. but yeah, friends, if you ever want to provide any input or feedback or comments on anything we're doing, please shoot us an email at the email previously mentioned. But I'll repeat it again just in case you weren't listening, BetweenTwoMillennials@gmail.com. As you could tell from this episode, we will bring up comments from our listeners. So we would love to hear from y'all. Nick, anything else you want to say before we make like a baby and head out?
No, nothing here on this end. Read up on the Bill of Rights. It's pretty cool. Always important for citizens to know what is expected of them and kind of what we have as protections.
And as American citizens, if you have any issue with any legislation being passed anytime in the near future, call your congressman or woman in the next couple days.
Or Vernon.
Or Vernon. Supreme, 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 supreme. Supreme.
Look him up, I'm telling you. You guys won't be disappointed. It's just at the very least, a good laugh, because he's doing real work.
And at the very best, he's our next president. Let's go.
Perfect.
Boom. Free ponies for all. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and say goodbye.
Bye, guys. I'm out of here, too.
Bachelor's degree help you figure that out?